Two Jack Bros, we're in this. What's up? We're in this. Yeah. I was just reading a very, very sultry story.
Sultry?
Very sultry
story. Was it porn?
It wasn't supposed to be, but it for sure was porn. It was definitely making me horny.
What is this sultry story about?
So you remember Jerry Falwell Jr.?
No.
So there was he was the chancellor of Liberty University. I also learned a lot about Liberty University in reading this article.
Oh, he got fired. He had that one picture that he got fired because he had that one picture when he had his pants unbuttoned and his arm around his friend on his yacht.
Yeah.
But they were just like, she was pregnant and he was just being silly because she couldn't button her pants. So he was like, ha ha, me too.
Yeah.
But I heard that they invited some dude, him and his wife used to have threesomes with some dude. Is what the dude's claiming?
Not quite threesomes. We'll get there.
Okay.
Right. Also, that person that he had his arm around was his wife's assistant. His wife, who is an adult woman older than I am, and she still goes by Becky.
You're mad at her for going by Becky?
I don't know. I just feel like at some point, if you still go by Becky as an adult, you're a bad burrito.
Like she should be a Rebecca? At some point, you have to become a Rebecca?
At some point, you got to, really? Come on, show a little respect. You're not Becky anymore.
I didn't know you had this view on the name Becky.
I think you can't be older than 25 and still be Becky.
Really?
No Becky's older than 25.
No matter what your race is.
You can be Becca.
Becca.
You cannot be Becky.
No Becky's.
Any nickname with E at the end of it, we're lucky.
Yeah.
Because our names end in E.
Yeah.
Sydney, Ansley. But you can't do it.
You wouldn't. Like, what if I still wanted to go by Annie? You wouldn't be into it? I'd be a bad burrito?
That's a bad burrito. That's a bad burrito name. If that's not your name.
Yeah.
If you're not born Annie.
Yeah.
And you're going by Annie as an adult. No, thank you. No, thank you. I was born Sydney. I wasn't born Scotty. That's what people call me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, come on, I'm too old to be Scott. I'm not Scotty anymore. If anything, call me Scott. Right? I don't want to hear any Scott, any E shit, you know?
So Becky has an assistant.
Oh, Becky.
Is Becky do more than be a housewife to have an assistant? Is she just
has nothing to do with her assistant.
Okay.
Right? None of this has anything. This is, we're just framing Becky right now.
I'm just curious what Becky does for a profession.
Well, at one point she worked at Liberty University herself, right? In 2008. And so here is a thing that I didn't know about Liberty University. Liberty University ended up coming into the Patriot League at some point. Was that the same Liberty?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I knew this school from somewhere. Like when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, yeah, Liberty University. But maybe that's where.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. Like in our senior year, Liberty came into the Patriot League for at least some of the sports. I don't know if they were full Patriot League.
Yeah.
But for sure lacrosse, for sure basketball, for sure track.
Huh.
I don't know about football, swimming, and the other things that aren't even sports, but
softball.
Yeah,
softball. Cheerleading.
Yeah. It's like Liberty. We're in the Patriot League for cheerleading. Yeah. It's like, what does that even mean? So Becky, so they're the Falwells. You know, do you have any familiarity with the Falwells?
Well, didn't his dad start Liberty University? They're like a big religious family, right?
They are the icons of evangelical Christianity.
Yeah.
Right? The Falwells. Jerry Falwell was the guy. He was a televangelist.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was on TV making people shake and twerk and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just doing the Harlem shake. It's just like for Jesus. Right? So they have a big name, not only in Liberty University, but in evangelical Christianity. They're huge.
And they've got a big yacht. I'm assuming they have a big house.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
When you have a big yacht, you usually have a big house.
They had, like, the one house that they had a church on the ground.
Of course.
And a guest house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm imagining, like, even if that's an estate.
Yeah.
Right? So, oh, Becky the bad burrito. Oh, Becky.
What does Becky do?
Let's get into this. So, Becky, not even, so they have a kid.
I'm just hoping that you're not framing her as a bad burrito without also framing him as a bad burrito. But I'll wait to hear the story first.
Okay.
But my woman, my feminism hairs are tingling at you right now.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Okay. Let them tingle.
Okay.
Let me. I want to circle back to these feminism hairs in a little bit. Right. So, they have a son named Trey.
Trey.
Trey is apparently a virtuoso on the guitar. Like, he's really good. He knows every Led Zeppelin song, and he can play them like the lead guitarist from Led Zeppelin. He's phenomenal.
Okay.
So he joined a band.
Yeah.
From some people. And they had this abandoned church on their estate. And the Falwells, the Jerry Falwell Jr. and Becky Falwell, were like, hey, if you and your friends fix up this old church, you can play in there and practice whenever you want.
Okay.
It's yours to do what you want as far as practicing is concerned. So they fixed it up, and she started hanging out. You know, first she was doing that mom thing where she was hanging out like, hey, you guys need snacks?
Lemonade? Does anybody want any lemonade?
Literally lemonade and snacks.
Of course lemonade
and snacks. That's exactly what she came in there offering, lemonade and snacks, which is kind of symbolic of being not a concerned mom, but like a matriarchal figure,
mm-hmm.
right?
Lemonade, you're momming everybody.
You're momming. You're just momming up. And she was just like, I just want to be everybody's friend, which is another mom thing to say.
Yeah.
Right? And then they noticed that she was sticking around a little too much. One of the guys thought that she was making eyes at him, but he wasn't paying any mind because, again, she's
the mom.
She is evangelical Christianity.
Yeah, and she's
And she's a mom. She's the mother of evangelical Christianity. Yeah. So he's like letting it go.
That's just God in her eyes giving him smiles.
God does that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
God smiles through other people's eyes all the time. So he was just like, I'm used to this.
Yeah.
Think nothing of it.
Yeah.
So one day, she was like doing something, and she asked him if he could help her. And he was like, hell yeah, I'll help the mother of evangelical Christianity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get into heaven.
Yeah.
Who's going to say no to that?
Mm-hmm.
Goes over to help her. And then she's like, hey, did you tell your friends yet? And he's like, what? Tell my friends what? About the God eyes? Like, they know about God eyes.
Yeah.
And she was like, did you tell your friends that I think you're hot?
Ooh, and Becky. He was like, oh, nice. Bad burrito Becky. That is a bad burrito line.
That is for sure.
That's not the first time that you use a line like that if you're a user of lines like that.
No. No, because like she's doing this thing that older women do to younger guys when they court younger guys, mm-hmm. right? And it's happened to me. I've
been courted.
I've been courted by an old bad burrito.
It's stinky cheese.
A moldy bad burrito. I've been courted.
By
right?
the moldy.
I've been courted. And they do this thing where they just jump in as if you're already in the relationship with them.
Because they're too old for this shit. Come on now. Of course you want to be in this relationship.
Yeah. And they also do this thing where they assume that your hormones are going to be so uncontrollable.
Mrs. Robinson, please.
Basically, you know. So she pulled that on them.
Yeah.
And
it's true, too, right? Like, I mean, whether you want to or not, whether you're like, it's God eyes. Your boner's like, hey, lady.
Yeah. Hey, lady. My boner sings soprano. <It's>, hey, lady. So, we'll get to that in a second. So,
soprano dicks?
Yeah. Soprano dicks. So, they, you know, he's like trying to ignore this.
He's like, I'm so flattered. Oh, you're so silly, Becky.
Yeah. I didn't tell him that. No, I didn't tell him that one.
Oh, Becky.
Oh, my God, what is happening here? You know, it's like one of those things.
Yeah.
So him and the bandmates started, you know, they drink a little bit. They have whiskey.
Yeah.
And sometimes they tie one on a little too much and he can't drive home. So he spends a night in their guest house. He sleeps in the guest.
It's a guest house.
What else would it be doing there?
It's an estate, right? This is the place where you crash.
You gotta stay.
This is where you play your band.
It's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So one day when he was staying there, he heard some giggling to the side of the bed. And he was like, what the fuck is that? And it was the bad burrito. She must have army crawled into the room.
Lucky.
You know, because he didn't see her come in the room. Yeah. It was like all of a sudden she was to the right of the cot. And he's like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah.
And like she popped up and was like, hello. She's like, lemonade. Snacks, lemonade. So that was the first time. And somehow he was able to, you know.
He defused the bad burrito bomb?
She's also a woman. So, you know, she's probably like, tonight I'll just go in and tease.
Yeah.
Like women are so weird. Right? So she went in and she did her tease the first night. And then another time he slept over. She came in. She hopped in bed with him.
Did she do an army crawl?
No, I don't think so. I think it was like she like kicked down the door.
Yeah.
Just like poof, ran in, jumped on bed, mounted him. he tried to shrimp away, but her mount was too strong. And she pulled his pants down and started sucking his soprano.
Becky.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh my God, I'm going to hell. You know, but he didn't stop. Like it's one of those things too where he doesn't want to make a thing about this.
Right.
You know, because if he. Because
she's in a position of power and she's using her power over top of him to put him in uncomfortable situations that are hard for him to say no to.
She's using the power of God. Not only is she in a position of power, she is in the position of power.
Wait, so does that mean that God Me Too'd him?
I think so. Do you think God filleted his soprano? Is that what
you're saying? I think so.
I think so too. Like the more
the
like
power of God.
That was. Mm. He got, man, that must have been. He's never going to have a good orgasm for the rest of his life.
Not after God did it for you.
Good.
It'd be like any good chick he's with. You'd be like, she's not God.
She's not a God.
Yeah.
I once had my. Never mind. It's like, why aren't you enjoying this? You don't seem like you're enjoying this. It's just like, you don't want to know. I don't want to give you something you can't compete with, mm-hmm. You know. But, you know, so that ended up, you know, and that's the story. Like, and then she was like courting him for a little while. And I don't think anything
by
physical
text,
happened.
Yeah, some.
Like she tried to get with, like, talk to him on Facebook with using a fake account. Mm. But he figured
what
it out right
bad
away.
Bad burrito.
Very bad burrito. Not only did she use a fake account, but she used a fake account of a bad burrito. It was like a 20-year-old blonde chick.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, she did. So the other part of the story that they were talking about, right, if that isn't horny inducing enough.
Do we know, has Becky admitted to this?
Becky and both Jerry Falwell denied it. They're not going to come out and express the truth right now because they want to separate their drama from Liberty University's very bright future.
Oh, sure.
So when the time is right, they're going to come out and express their truth.
Oh, okay.
Right? I don't think it's ever going to happen.
No.
Right? I think we know what. I think we know. I believe it.
Okay. Right?
So the other thing that was admitted to is that there was an affair before with a pool guy, basically, that they went into a real estate deal with. But the affair started when this guy was 20. Mm-hmm. And she would, like, hook up with him and have sex with him. And then sometimes
Jerry
would
along.
Watch. He wouldn't come along. He would watch them have sex.
Oh.
You know? So I think she was trying to groom this boy for a little bit of that. You know?
Yeah.
And then, so that information was out about her having sex with, I think his name was Giancarlo. He was like,
Giancarlo, the
pool
man.
For sure a pool boy name.
Yeah.
You know?
When they were picking pool boys, she was like, I'll go with Giancarlo.
It was like when that mom had that baby, she was like, you're going to be a pool boy.
Yeah.
You are Giancarlo the pool boy, right? So he, here's my favorite part. When she was messaging him from the fake Facebook account that was the 20-year-old blonde chick, he goes, she was saying stuff a 20 and 20-year-old, 21-year-old wouldn't say, he said, like real Southern charm, stuff that older people say. And I said to myself, hold up. Not only is this an old person, it's Becky. She couldn't hide her bad burrito vibe.
She couldn't.
Over a fake Facebook
account. That's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad.
It was like every other sentence she was like, with some lemonade.
Snacks, lemonade. And so here's the thing. You know, you look at it, it's like, I think she could have, I feel like Scooby-Doo, I think she could have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling kids, right? But I think she would have been able to get away with it. I think he would have accepted it more if she was, she looks like a mom.
Yeah.
She looks like Lemonade Snack Mom.
Yeah.
But she also has she's attractive. She's an attractive lady, but she's an attractive mom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if she was just like a skosh hotter, or like, that's not even the right way to put it. If she was a skosh less mom looking,
yeah,
she'd be hot.
Like, what, he'd had to have like a real MILF fantasy for it to be.
Oh,
Becky,
the truest the
mom.
Of MILF fantasies.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that is like the limit for MILF. Like,
have to be his thing. Dude, like MILF.
For sure, it would have to be a fetish. Like, if she was any mom, if she was any more mom looking, like, she'd be a grandma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, she can't be any more mom looking and still get banged by a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, she's at the edge of that. She's at the precipice of MILF.
So Jerry's Farwell's downfall from Liberty, like, the can was opened by that weird Facebook picture, but his downfall was his bad burrito wife.
No, I think I think it was the bad burrito wife, because then the information about the affair with Giancarlo came
yeah,
out.
You can't have, come on.
No.
Man, his whole, is he broken because of this? Like, he doesn't get to, he loses his job. Like, is he canceled? Does he get to continue on as
Jerry
the preacher? Yeah, like.
Well, Jerry Falwell Jr., I don't know if he's a preacher per se.
He
was definitely just like the chancellor of that school.
Okay.
But I don't think so, because he received a severance package worth $10.5 million.
Oh, so he can do whatever he wants.
He's doing all right.
Yeah.
He's doing all right. But
God damn, that's quite a severance package.
I mean, that kid's a little broken up, because, and then I'm learning all this stuff about Liberty University. If you can't even have, if you're found out to have premarital sex at Liberty University, you get punished.
How punished? Ruler smacks on your dick. Yeah. Like.
Becky Falwell comes into your room and sucks your dick. You better be good or Becky's going to suck your dick.
Yeah, she's gonna eat your box with too much teeth, very aggressively.
It's like the men, like, yeah, like, you gotta scare the girls too.
Yeah,
you better be good or Becky's gonna get you. Becky's gonna, and you look at her, it's like, no, not my mom. <It's> like, you don't know, no. Yeah. So that's, like, I was just reading that story. I'm not done. I'm going to get back into it.
Oh.
Yeah, there's more to it. I don't know how much more salacious it's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's got me titillated. I'm like, I love this story. It's, man, more stories like this, please. Anything that gets me away from, like, COVID and black men getting shot
really?
By police,
yeah.
I'm into it. I'm for sure into it. You
yeah.
know? So that's my contribution to horniness right now. You know, I don't mean to start off two Jack Bros, you know, with
hot
horn
and bothered,
getting all horned up.
Yeah.
Like, I apologize for being a bad burrito myself.
Look at you.
But it's what I was projecting. And if I tried to act like I wasn't what I was projecting, we would have just been circling that drain the whole entire episode. You know, I had to get it out.
Yeah.
I had to get it out. It's out of me now, and it's into the zeitgeist.
I can't wait to go look at her mom picture.
Yeah, she's, I might even put up a little picture for people to see while I'm, like, here, like,
yeah.
right here,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's like, you'll see her and be like, oh, okay, it's like, you know, yeah, I could see, it's like, I'm 40 and I'm like, she's a little too momish, like, that should be in my wheelhouse,
yeah,
you know, but it's like, she's
Mom.
Just a little too momish, you know. It's
yeah.
like her chin is a little too close to her nose, if you know, like, you know what I mean. Like, not like, like, it's not, you know, it's just like, you'll see what I'm saying.
Man, I wonder how her son's taking all this.
Probably tough, because her son doesn't seem like he's necessarily conditioned for handling real drama. So here's what I mean by that. So when the guy, when Becky punished him, this kid, when she snuck into the room and punished him, he felt like he has this secret now about this kid's mom.
Yeah.
So it kind of created some distance between him and his kid, and he kind of convinced the other guys to, like, kick him out of the – like, we can't have him in the band anymore, man. His mom keeps sucking my dick.
But they're using his church.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like they had to go – so Trey convinces them to, like, let me stay in the band
until
after this one show.
Yeah.
It was a show at Liberty University where they were all playing – and like, but also these kids would play at bars without Trey. So
Trey wouldn't go to bars.
I don't know exactly why Trey wasn't at those bars, but he wasn't getting the open mic reps in all these different circumstances that these other guys were getting.
Oh,
like
man.
These guys were used to playing in a bar with nobody listening to them, people playing pool, like somebody finger banging a chick, you know? So
Trey's mom.
Yeah, Trey. they were used to playing in front of Trey's mom.
Yeah.
And Trey's mom only.
Yeah.
she was just everywhere they went, she was just punishing them. So they were playing this show. It was a Christmas show. And they played a Christmas song. And then right after this Christmas song, they went into a Led Zeppelin cover. And people started booing. And it broke Trey.
Oh, Trey.
Yeah, he couldn't handle it because he just didn't have the reps for that type of behavior.
I feel like Trey's autistic. Like, I have no proof of it, but I feel like he's an autistic.
Are you saying that because you're like, how did you not know your mom was punishing men?
Well, that, and he was, like, really good at guitar, you said, but, like, sounds like he had a special proclivity towards Led Zeppelin songs.
Yeah,
and like, that's fair. You know, like, just, like, he doesn't go to bars. Like, is that because he gets overwhelmed by the atmosphere? You know, like.
It could be.
And, like.
It very well
might. Too much noise and stuff. And
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, you might be right. You might be nailing that.
Yeah.
You know. Because it's, like, it's one of those things that we talked in the last episode about how it's, like, kind of hard to tell if an Asian is autistic if they have an accent.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell if a white guy is autistic if he's really into God.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't, you're like, are you religious or autistic?
Yeah.
Man?
Oh my gosh. There's a church that I deal with. There's a chaplain, or I don't know if he's a chaplain. He runs the church. And
yeah.
I'm like, every time I interact with him, I'm like, is he autistic?
Yeah. Or just nice.
Yeah. And talks really slow.
Yeah.
It's like church guys talk really slow sometimes.
They do. They do. And it sucks because like those are like, it's hard to tell if an Asian is autistic if they have an accent. It's hard to tell if a white guy is autistic if he's religious. And it's hard to tell if a black guy is autistic if he's not a good dresser. It's hard to tell if a black guy is autistic or not if he's corny.
Yeah.
Like, are you autistic or corny? What the fuck is happening here, dude? Where are your Jordans, man? So that's how we're coming into this. That's how we're coming in hot.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming in hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you saw or heard, but the NBA is looking to boycott the rest of their playoff season because of the recent shooting of a black man in Wisconsin.
They're going to boycott their season?
They're going to boycott. Yeah, they're in the
playoffs.
They're
just trying to get out of the season. They're just all like, we are no good at this, and we don't like it, and we want to go home.
For sure, yep. For sure, yep. So Milwaukee was going to boycott Wednesday and not play their playoff game because of the shooting in Milwaukee, which, okay.
Make a statement.
LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, so Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers, voted to boycott the rest of this playoff season, you know, which is
LeBron James.
Yeah. LeBron, the social justice warrior, LeBron James. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of get where they're coming from, but it's not a very impactful boycott. It's like, how are you boycotting something nobody's watching right now?
Yeah.
Like, nobody gives a shit about the NBA.
Well, you're also taking your platform away. Like, if people are watching this and you're like, okay, let's cancel that. And now, like, now LeBron James doesn't have a place to, you know, wear his t-shirt or kneel or do your little actions.
You're eliminating your visibility.
Yeah. So
you're visible. Your visibility comes from the fact that you play basketball.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just a guy.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, it gives visibility to the whole league and all of these people with the t-shirts and the kneeling.
Yeah.
And there's a little controversy going on because, you know, the ratings for the NBA are down and they're like, well, why are they down? Right. And a lot of it circles back to China. Right. So you remember, I don't want to say it was last year, but it was like last calendar year when like the Houston Rockets coach or GM put up a tweet that said, fight for freedom, support Hong Kong.
Yeah.
China was like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Right. So that was a big thing. Everybody jumped on this guy's back. And we're even like LeBron James, like he didn't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, so now before I shit on anybody for defending China in that moment in the NBA, you also have to remember that at that time that guy put out that tweet, there were NBA players in China because they were doing NBA games in China. They had this exchange program that they do now where they play some exhibition games in China and stuff.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of NBA players in China.
Yeah.
And China is a communist country. They do whatever the fuck they want. You can't. You put those men at risk.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. Like, I don't think he should have put out that tweet while NBA players were in China. That was a dangerous move that put a lot of people at risk. But the way they handled it was just like, that guy's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, people didn't like that.
Yeah.
You know, like the
Chinese people?
Just Americans too, because like we believe in freedom.
Yeah.
Hong Kong is fighting for democracy. They're fighting for freedom.
Yeah.
China, this communist country, is trying to take that freedom away from them.
Yeah.
If you're a casual NBA fan, not a diehard,
which
I kind of was at that time. I went from a diehard to a casual because we had so many kids.
Yeah.
Right? A casual NBA fan, you're not going to be into that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, this is America.
Yeah.
Why are you supporting the idea of China trying to take freedom away from people?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about that. And I realized China is working us right now. This is their plan. Destroy the NBA. Lantern flies, COVID.
You said it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, let's take COVID out of it because I don't want to get too political, right? Because I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But COVID for sure. And I don't know how these lantern flies are playing into this, but they for sure are playing into it.
Yeah.
Because last year, lantern fly season, they were just dumb fuck whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
Just like little idiot bugs.
They got fast.
And they're attacking us now. They didn't do that last year. They didn't fly at us smash into us and stuff.
No.
They're getting too comfortable.
Yeah.
They're getting too comfortable. You know?
Yeah.
So I think something's going on with.
Well, like China is like positioned in a place. So like tides are turning, you know, like. The more and more social justice and human rights we get, like support of human rights, the harder and harder it is for our economy to do business with like countries in Africa or other places that aren't also on this social justice kick as us, because we can't support a country out in the open and also, you know, do partnering and share deals with them and like take their oil and their minerals and shit. And China's like, we don't care about your human rights and we don't care what's going on. We just want to make money.
Yeah.
So like, it's like quietly, like they're like gobbling up all these like, and like making all these partnerships and like doing all these deals with countries that America used to do deals with. But like, we're getting ourselves in this, like this conundrum, you know, like where we can't, if you really believe all these things, then you can't, you know, support that country. And it's not going to be good.
Dude, they're getting us.
Yeah.
They have the long game.
Yeah.
You know? Which is kind of funny to me because, you know, they do. Like, they're a thousands of year old empire. So they can look at things long term.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're like, it's not for us. It's for three generations later when China is going to be the world superpower.
Yeah.
And they're fine with that.
And we can't deal with, like, we're like, I'll eat all the Twinkies. It doesn't matter what my kids do. You know, like, we're making fat kids left and right. We don't care about the next generation.
Not at all. We're like, now, this is the generation.
Yeah.
This generation right here.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, COVID happened. And it's like, if that was a diabolical plan by China, I just imagine, you know, like they unleash COVID and then it starts ravaging the world. And then like the second in command is like, great, great, great. Now, when do we entice them with the cure? And he's like, oh, shit. Fuck,
we didn't, working on it.
We didn't do a cure. We did not do the cure. We did. We're China. We're thinking long term, dude. We don't need a cure. It's like, yeah, it's gonna ravage us too.
Yeah.
But that's that's very insightful. I think that is definitely happening. Like, they're definitely, you know, they're sliding in and doing business with the people that we can't because we're social justice-y now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's China's getting us.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely getting us. And I don't know what these lanternflies have to do with the NBA, but they are for sure connected.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely something that's connected. So
watch out for that.
Yeah. Keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. You know, just be prepared.
Yeah.
Like, when the shit hits the fan, don't say that I didn't tell you. You know, like when you're like when you're shitting lanternflies.
Yeah, now you've got me thinking, like, so, like, what is the next move? Like, we've got to get off of all this, like, petroleum and oil, right? We need wind machines, wind energy. And there's too many lanternflies, like you said, hitting the fan.
Yeah.
Like, mucking it all up and lanternfly guts all over us. And we know that their poop and their insides seem to kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's all in the, yeah, there's something.
Well, that's probably another thing they're gonna ruin our energy, right? Because even if we did solar panels, the lanternflies are just going to cover it.
Yeah.
They're just going to fly on top of those.
They're going to put us in the dark ages where everybody else moves ahead and we'll just be covered in lanternflies.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
No.
Not my country.
No.
That should not be America. That's not the America that I live in.
No.
You know?
Lanternfly capital of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I feel bad for my dad. Like, my dad is a diehard NBA fan.
Yeah.
He also gives a shit about politics.
Yeah.
He gives a shit about social justice. He just wants to watch the NBA.
Isn't that what sports are supposed to be in the good old day? Like, your escape from, like you go to work, you deal with all this stuff, you come home, you watch a baseball game or you watch a basketball game. You know, you get to turn it all off and just enjoy the sport. Like, and sports are pure and they're just about winning and losing and, like, which man's going to do it, you know? And, like, that's, like, part of the American dream. And now it's, like, you can't separate all that.
No. So here's my conspiracy for the real reason why LeBron wants to vote to not have the playoffs happen anymore. So we talked about how the NBA bubble sucks, right?
Yeah.
And I'll reiterate it again. It sucks because while sports were going, the first sport to come back was the UFC MMA. So that was the only sport people were watching, and people got really attached to watching men fucking fight it out, stay in the fight, do their best no matter what. And then when the NBA comes back and they're just whining and crying every time the whistle blows,
yeah,
it's hard to watch,
yeah,
men be whiny bitches.
Yeah.
You know, but we were used to that for a long time. Like, that was how sports were. And you would even football players, like, flip out at refs sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that doesn't fly anymore. Yeah. We watched men be men for 2 straight months. We can't go back to watching men be bitches. It's tough to watch, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of why the ratings are down. I don't know if that's affecting people on a larger level, but I know that that's something that bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, you know, you see a guy get hit on the wrist for a layup that he made. The ref doesn't blow the whistle, and he's flipping out and crying at the ref the whole entire way down the court. Plays defense, comes back on offense, still he's yelling at the ref.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, come on. Daniel Cormier got his eye poked out in a championship fight. After the fight, he has a torn retina.
I know.
You would never have guessed it from the way that he continued to fight.
No, you kept watching the replays, like, did it? Did it?
Yeah,
did he get him?
Maybe he didn't poke him that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, you see him in his interview afterwards and his eyes, like, spinning around, like, pointing that way. It's like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you were dealing with? Like, why didn't you complain to the ref? Oh, because you're a fucking man.
Yeah.
That's why. Right? So that, and so this is we're getting into my real theory here. So I feel like, because there is no audience, and we discussed this already, like, people that have really attached themselves to the roar of the crowd,
yeah,
don't have that to push them right now. And then there are people that are intimidated by the crowd, like the younger players or some of the players that maybe had too high of expectations on them when they came into the league. And now that they're veterans, like they really never achieved their potential. But now there's not a crowd there. They're fucking bawling their heads off.
Yeah.
So for sure, a team with lesser stars and a lot of drive is going to win the NBA championship. It's not going to be one of these top tier teams.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. You can feel it. It's in the air. And LeBron James, if anything, like I feel like he is a basketball genius to the point where he can feel the vibe and predict going forward what is going to happen with this season. He knows he's not making it to the finals. He knows that a top team isn't making it to the finals.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want it to happen.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, if I'm not, I don't want to play then.
Yeah. You know? He found his out. He's like, I got it.
LeBron James has been in the finals pretty much every year since he's been in the league, except for maybe last year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that sat well with him, and he doesn't want it to happen again. He went to the Lakers for that to not happen.
Yeah.
You know? And then they finally put this super team together for him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's not gonna. It's just not their year. It's just not the year for top teams.
Yeah.
So he's just like, since he doesn't feel like he has a chance to win it all, he's like, yeah, let's boycott.
Yeah.
Like that's how I feel personally.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but I just feel like it's bitch like behavior that's happening, and it's just can't get on board with it.
Yeah.
Not on board. Not on board. So, I don't know. We're gonna have to. This is gonna have to be a short episode because it's getting kind of late. We started late. We're going to go to a new recording schedule. We're just going to do, we got a little backed up. We went to a birthday party on Sunday when we normally record and couldn't really find a day in the week to sit down and have a good recording. We tried on Tuesday, but I fucked it. It was my fault. Like I couldn't get it together. Ansley was on fire as always, but I just couldn't get it together.
Sydney's butt crack was sweaty.
It was. I just didn't feel good. It was like I was hollow. My butt crack was sweaty. I didn't feel like I hydrated enough and I was sweating. It was just a bad. It was. I just felt like I was being punished by Becky Falwell the whole entire time. It's like Becky Falwell gonna get you. So we're just gonna do the episode and the Patreon on Sunday back to back, and then once we get these interviews up for the Patreon, we'll just put those up as we do them. So get this Patreon really firing up. Get everything start. Let's just start adhering to a schedule. We know you guys are schedule oriented. I'm sorry. I don't want to put Ansley into it. Ansley, she's just the talent, you know? She just shows up and she just gives her talent to the cast, right? So all the rest of this stuff is on me. And I want to apologize, but I can't because once I apologize, you guys will sense weakness and then you'll think you own me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys will start Becky Falwell and me. Like, I don't want that.
All over the place.
I don't want that. I don't want to be punished. I don't want to be punished by Becky Falwell. So we can do some a little shout out action, a quick episode, quick hitter. We didn't really get to dive into things like we normally do. And I wish we did because I was just trying to make sure we covered topics in this short episode. We could have just like sat on Becky Falwell pretty much for 45 minutes. I'm sure we could have sat on that. There was a lot there.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that's right up our alley. You know, we could talk about that for days. Yeah. You know? So let me get these shout outs up real quick. Also, I just want to like shout out to Toscani Rodriguez out there. He sent me a message about the last episode. He texted me about it. He was really into the three races.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. He also feels like he's got some bad burrito tendencies. Which is, dude, I like every time somebody says bad burrito to me, it just, my heart, I'm like, you know, when the Grinch, when he started to be a good person and then his heart started to expand, like, dude, every time somebody says bad burrito to me, my heart grows a little bit more. I fucking love it. Like, I just really hope that gets out there and stays. Like, I hope that like years from now, people are calling people bad burritos that don't even listen to the Two Jack Bros or any of the Shat Nation podcasts. It's just that much of a phrase. Like, I want that so badly. So please. Use bad burrito every chance you get. You do not have to credit us. Just use it. It'll come back to us. You don't have to credit us. It will come back to us. That's how the universe works unless Becky Falwell jumps in. So shout out to Mike Butler, Mike Levy, Lizbot, Doc, Kevin Stevens, Julian from Canada, and Meg with Meg.says.so, and then also her podcast, So and Tell. She's just the best. Kevin Lau, Mary Jo, Nicole, Raj, Janelle, Courtney, Rick, Andrew Pace, Keith Butts, Kyle Hancock, Erica Daniel, Levi Mercer, Justin Masabi, Ezekiel Ellis, Logan Ryan, Roger Downs, Joe Robb, Joe Francis and his girlfriend's company, Saved by the Reef. I got to get her name. Mm-hmm. Are your feminism hairs tingling every time I don't say her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag say her name. No, I don't want to. We're not a political podcast. No, we're not those people. Also, how did your feminism hairs feel after hearing the rest of that story?
Oh, Becky's a bad burrito.
She's a bad burrito. She's for sure a bad burrito.
I can't defend that.
Yeah. TJ James.
She was Me Too-ing people. Like, she was the predator.
She was. The aggressor. She was for sure the aggressor.
The aggressor from God.
The aggressor from God.
Her power from God. Oh, Becky.
That's what I'm calling this episode, the aggressor from God. And so I don't know. You were talking over it. So TJ James, you're getting it twice. Nick Cupsey in your two books, one, Lost in the Mail. The other one, The Five People You Meet in Wawa. Funny guy. Get the Lost in the Mail book. It's relevant right now. The post office is in all kinds of tizzies. Chris Bruno, Kevin McGran, Graham Hoffman, Chris Tucker, Derek Towson. Man. And all the rest of the other thousands of people that listen to this podcast. We got a couple thousand listeners.
Yeah.
Fucking shout out to you, too. Like, you guys make my heart feel big, too. Mm-hmm. You really do. I really appreciate it. Start watching the youth. Nah, whatever. Do what you want. Do what you want. Whatever. We'll get a whole different crowd for that. We don't care.
Yeah.
We love you guys. And you're currently listening to Melissa Biokingdom and her band Circadian Clock. Whoa. That sounded too much like a soprano dick. I apologize. Yeah. I apologize. It's either the aggressor from God or soprano dick. So I don't know what this episode is going to be called. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And check out the Patreon. $1 gets you in. Enjoy all the content. We're out.
Bye. Got you.